Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Well, after 3 o'clock on this very depressing Monday, if you care about football, Joe Beningo will join us a little later today, 5 o'clock. We'll check in on our Aaron Rodgers stat predictions at 4:30. And coming up in the next few minutes, Dexter Lawrence with some very interesting things about this head coach and what he said after the game yesterday. But speaking of the head coach, he meets the media not only after a game, but also on Mondays. And so he just met the media in the last 20 minutes or so. And naturally, he was asked about the quarterback situation. If you're just tuning in, Tiki even said earlier, you're ready to move on from Daniel Jones. And once you've lost Tiki, you've lost America. So Tiki's even said, you know what? I don't even think he gives this team the best chance to win. A lot of us, as football fans and Giant fans, have gotten there already. I actually thought that yesterday at halftime, I would have made the move. I texted you guys that in real time. With the way that game was going offensively, with some of the mistakes that Daniel Jones had made, I'd have pulled the plug at halftime. Obviously, Brian Daboll decided not to do that, and the Giants' offense did respond. You know, he scored a couple of touchdowns in the second half of the game and forced overtime. But Brian Daboll was just asked very specifically about who his quarterback is moving forward. Let's take a listen to the exchange between reporter Ryan Dunleavy and head coach Brian Daboll.
Is Daniel Jones still your starting quarterback going forward?
Yeah, we're gonna spend a lot of time here watching our tape and evaluating things, and you know, we'll do that as a coaching staff over the next week here.
That's a little bit different, Brian, than the yes that you give us to that question when we ask it every week. So I think, to be clear, everybody's going to assume that means yes, you're at least considering a change. Is that fair?
Well, I would say we're evaluating. Our team at the bye week is what we're doing.
DJ's done. That's how I took that.
Yeah, it's not assured confidence. That's what that sounded like to me.
Well, I think I haven't decided who's replacing him, but I'm done with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably what it comes down to. Now, this is a conversation for later, I guess. Who's better, Drew Lock or Tommy DeVito for this team right now? I don't think there's an easy answer to that because Drew Lock was paid $5 million to be the backup quarterback, and in not so many words, he was given a, I won't say a guarantee, but an assurance that if Daniel wasn't the guy, he'd get a chance to play.
But what does that assurance really mean? If it's not written in ink, isn't it just being, something you said?
Yeah, it's just, circumstances
change.
Come off as being not true.
You ain't all right, buddy.
Right, not true to your word, but.
Well, circumstances change.
Of course they do.
They're 2-8.
Exactly right. But if I'm the Giants, and if I'm the Giant fan, I think more specifically, I want to see Tommy DeVito.
You're endorsing Tommy DeVito?
I'm not endorsing anybody. I just want to see something different. You have to see something different. There's a winning, DNA that certain players just have. Like, they find ways to do it, even when they're not playing their best. I mean, hell, Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions yesterday. And they found a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that's culture. Part of that's just having a good team around them. But Daniel Jones can't find ways to win games.
No, it's the opposite.
Exactly.
3-13.
He's finding ways to lose games. And I don't need to see that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care how much he's paid. I don't care how much you think he's whatever. He's not winning games. And so it's not worth it anymore. And I know he's only 27 or 28 years old. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You in a professional sport, if you can't produce and you can't put your team in position to win, you're not going to do it anymore. It's not a right. You have the privilege, and right now Daniel Jones is not taking advantage of his privilege or his opportunity.
He's lost his privilege.
Absolutely, he has.
69 starts.
I know. Forget the 69 starts. I'm just talking about this season.
Yeah. No, I get you. He started 10 games. He started every game.
There's a lot of talent around Daniel Jones right now. I mean, hell, we talked about it briefly, but Jalen Hyatt looked really good in his 4 targets and 4 catches yesterday. And it wasn't just go deep, right? I know he had the pass interference on the first call, so great. you throw that threat out there and you run them underneath, run digs, run hitches, run anything. That cornerback is backing up, trust me. But you still got to get him the ball.
Right.
Now, Daniel did a good job with him, but everything else kind of felt just, I don't know. He doesn't have that it anymore.
No, you said that for a while. He doesn't have that it, but saying let's bench him, mm-hmm. that's new. And I think for a lot of Giant fans, we've gotten to that point.
I think Giant fans were there long before I was.
Now, here's more from Brian Daboll speaking to the media within the last half hour.
As Tom just said, like the quarterback position is a different beast, right? It's a lot of money. It's a big percent of the cap. When you have something like that, is that something that ownership needs to sign off on if you decide to make a decision there and move on?
Well, I think, you know, again, I've said this before, Joe and I communicate with our ownership group on a daily basis, not just about the quarterback, but about every position. So there's good communication there. We'll do what we normally do. If there are any changes, regardless of the position, is we'll always communicate.
That position, it doesn't work any different like that. Like, I'm sure you have freedom to make, as I mean, you know, lineup changes regularly. Does that change with the quarterback position?
Yeah, no, even when we make lineup changes or there's things that come up, we're always in constant communication. You know, myself, Joe, and ownership, I think that's very important and healthy for the organization.
Well, there's a difference between being in constant communication and needing to ask permission.
Right.
Those are two very different things.
I don't think he's asking permission. I think he's just letting them be aware.
Yeah.
Making them aware of any of these decisions. And look, he's doing as good a job as he can, Dabes, at not answering the question.
I was going to say, when you said doing as good a job as he can, I was like, for what? Oh, not answering questions. Yes.
Because he doesn't need to answer it right now. He needs to answer it when they're on the field again and there's a quarterback taking first team snaps.
I think this is where ownership does come in play, though, and I think Tiki just hit on something. The fans, right? Next week or the game they come back, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home. Let's just say there's 15,000 Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans. That means there's 65,000 people that are going to show up to the swamps of East Rutherford, New Jersey, wearing blue jerseys. And either they're season ticket holders who have poured their hard-earned money to watch crap all year and crap for the last 10 years, or it's people because season ticket holders don't want to go anymore that are getting a chance to go to their first Giant game. What are they going to be buzzing about? Are they going to be buzzing watching Drew Lock basically look inept the same way Daniel Jones is, or get a little blood that the young quarterback from around town, Tommy DeVito's back?
I don't shine shoes anymore.
That does factor in. You do now at 2-8. What's left to watch other than pleasing your fan base?
Should that factor in?
I think it should.
Really?
Because Drew Lock's not that much better than DeVito.
At some point it does. I think it definitely does.
I think you've got to factor in what in the long term gives you the best chance to win and evaluate what you have. Drew Lock, see, here's the funny thing. We're on the same page. We're just maybe getting there for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Lock's not on this team next year. Like, he's not. He's right. A free agent, and he'll be somewhere else. Tommy DeVito is still young enough, and he hasn't been given as much of an opportunity as Daniel and Drew has, where you're like, let me just see. And for anyone who calls in like last week and says, come on, give me an example of a guy who was that bad in college who became that. I get it. I'm not telling you he's going to be great, but I would rather evaluate him because I know less about him than a guy like Drew Lock. But that's a different reason than saying, I want to please the 40,000 people that decide to show up to MetLife Stadium.
But don't they matter? All they've done is seen crap football and boo and pay their hard-earned money.
They do matter, but I believe the owner of the Jets has made decisions based on what the fans want, and that does not work. It doesn't work to make decisions based on what the fans
want. What do you
mean?
This year? I don't think the fans want
to. For the last 10 years. Firing guys, hiring guys. Woody Johnson goes on Jets Twitter and analyzes what fans think. And while it's good to hear what the fans want, you can't listen to them. As the old cliche is, if you listen to the fans, you end up with the fans.
Well, I mean,
the holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
That's not necessarily true, because these guys are billionaires.
That's true. He's an owner. He can't end up with the fans.
They're not ever going to end up with the fans unless they want to end up with the fans. But I think This is also an entertainment business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if you were a movie maker and you were just making bad flicks and all, and nobody was going, wouldn't you make different? Wouldn't you make a different kind of movie?
Sure, sure.
And so I know we get over, I don't know, we get overworked up about what this all means, but this is entertainment, right? It is a product that you're putting out and you want the consumer to purchase or to continue to purchase. You're the perfect case, Evan, as a season ticket holder for the New York Jets. Like, what's going to make you continue to want to spend money to go to the Meadowlands to watch the Jets? And part of it is winning, obviously.
Of course.
Being a part of, you know, this this major moment of, I don't know, exaltation. But it's also about watching fun players.
What does exaltation mean, Sean Morash? Go ahead.
Exaltation. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you asked that, Evan. It's a wonderful question.
I'm curious what
it means. Exaltation is when you get to your expectation at an excelled pace.
Close.
No, it's obvious how he said it. I'm sorry. Loogie, what does exaltation mean? Or exaltation mean?
I have no idea. I studied sorority girls in college. I have no idea.
I'm not mistaken, it's being happy. It's the feeling of happiness.
Yes. Yeah. And you get there by expectations being exalted.
Speaking of happiness, here's an analogy for the three quarterbacks on the Giants. Daniel Jones is tri-state area traffic. It's gotten worse in our lifetimes. Tommy DeVito is Disney World. And Drew Lock is stopping at a museum on the way to Disney World. He's boring. Why does anybody want to see Drew Lock play football?
How is Tommy DeVito Disney World?
Because he's fun. He's exciting. He's a local kid. He gives you something.
But you know what? He's fun and exciting until he stinks. Right. Until he goes out there and throws four interceptions against the Buccaneers.
Oh, but he never did that, though. He never threw four interceptions.
But he may do that.
But he might. The thing is, you just don't know.
Right. His Saint game was terrible that got him benched last year. Let's not forget that. We remember the good times.
Oh, the Saints game. Yes.
Saint game has been. Also, right. Disney World, very expensive. Undrafted rookie, not expensive.
Yeah, but Thunder Mountain might have a long line. It might not. You never know. So can we just see the unknown?
No, no. Here's the funny thing. I think we're all on the same page about seeing Tommy DeVito. But I think what Tiki brought up earlier is a thing you need to be warned about, Tommy, and everyone else needs to be warned about. We may get what we want, and then once we get it, we may say, oh my God, this is what we wanted, and it may be worse.
That's fine, though. At least we don't have to go through life knowing, because to me, if Tommy DeVito could be the Giants quarterback for the next decade, it would be the biggest story in the summer. So then I'd rather live my life knowing we at least got a chance to see it, and it failed. Drew Lock and Daniel Jones.
Well, Sean, was Dable then presented with, if you're considering benching Daniel, which of the two are you more considering starting? Now, knowing Dable, he wouldn't answer that.
I have not seen that specific question.
Because his answer would be, we're considering everybody on the roster. Mm. That would basically be his answer, but that's the next step in this. Okay, if you bench Daniel Jones, which 99% of Giant fans are ready to do, okay, then what?
Well, I'll counter your question with a question. If we don't get that from Dable today, at some point this week, Joe Shane is supposed to meet with the media with the bye week. Is that something the general manager who paid $5 million to Drew Lock should be asked this week?
Yes. He'll be asked about that. Here's the other thing that I think Brian Dable needs to be asked about. So yesterday after the Giants lost, and we'll get back to your calls in a bit, I promise, Jet fans, Giant fans, everybody's angry. 888-808-1019. I listened to what Giant and Jet players had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time when you listen to players after games, you get a little bit, but not a lot.
Right.
Dexter Lawrence was asked a very specific question, and I actually wrote it down because you're going to hear the audio, and I have to cut the question out because you can't hear it very well.
Right.
But I can promise you word for word this was the question, just so you know context on this, because I do think context matters.
Of course it does.
The question specifically to Dexter Lawrence was, do you think Dable's message is still getting through to the locker room? Okay, that's the question.
Yep.
Do you think Brian Dable's message is still getting through to the locker room? That's the question. Here's the answer and the exchange by the captain of the New York Giants. If I'm not mistaken, he's been here longer than anybody else. Is that an accurate statement, John?
Well, there's two. Daniel Jones and Dexter Lawrence were in the same draft class.
Ah, give Dex the edge. Just because he's better.
Technically, Daniel Jones was taken 11 picks ahead.
No, I know, but Ty goes to the better football player.
Who signed their contract first?
Yeah.
Oh, great question.
That's a great question. But here's Dexter Lawrence's answer to the question in the exchange. Do you think Dable's message is still getting through to the locker room?
I think it is. Just got to be comprehended a little better. I think it's getting through. It's just, you know, it's critical moments. And we got to understand what those critical moments are to be able to win and come out on top.
From the outside, you said 10 games in, like you're saying it's not being comprehended. Mm-hmm. Isn't that troubling to you? Or should that be troubling?
It's annoying for sure. But I'm not in other people's heads or brains, or I don't. Maybe got to be communicated differently, or got to hear from somebody else. So.
What do you think of that? I mean, first of all, it's got to be comprehended better. Okay, it's annoying for sure that this is still an issue. And then he said it needs to be communicated differently, or communicated from somebody else.
Bad coaching.
Yeah, but no, I don't think that's unfair, Tommy. I don't think that it's bad coaching. I think it's hard to be a head coach because you can say something as succinctly and clearly as possible and guys just aren't paying attention to you, right? For instance, there were three, we talked about this in our pre-show meeting, there were three 25-plus yard runs on the Giants this past weekend by Chuba Hubbard. It was a good back, but he's not a 150-yard a game back.
Saved my fantasy season.
Right, but so why did those happen? Well, the first one happened because for some reason, Bobby Okereke and Micah McFadden on a toss play to the left were looking at Bryce Young as if he still had the football.
Mm.
And so they got out leveraged and he rips off a 25-yarder. Same drive. They run a pitch play to the right side this time. They're pulling a guard around. And Deontay Banks, as the force player, you have one job. Make the running back go inside. Because as the fourth player, you are the last line to the sideline. So if you don't do anything, just run to the sideline. Make him put his foot in the ground and go north and south. And then Bobby Okereke is there. Instead, he leans into the blocker. He gets blocked, gets hooked, and Chuba Hubbard goes down to the six-yard line. So like the message could be, just do what you're supposed to do, right? And how... Like you can deliver it in many different ways, but what are you telling a guy who just is screwing it up?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, the problem is it seems like sometimes we're talking in code. So
I don't think they're talking in code. They're just
Is it plays like that or is it in general? That's what I don't know.
I think it's in general. I think it's like knowing your responsibility is job number one. I don't care what position you're playing. And if you don't know that, you're going to screw up. Because you're going to get into the moment and you're going to say to yourself, what do I got to do? What am I supposed to do? And then now it's too late. As soon as you're asking yourself, what am I doing now? It's too late. The other team has beat you. You've lost that individual battle that you've had. And so whether it's the details that Dex is talking about, whether it's, I don't know, the above and beyond, the toughness, the hustle, all that stuff that he's talking, I don't know. But I know Dex plays with it.
No, Dex is fine.
Dex is hearing it. I know Tyrone Tracy's playing with it currently, you know, his fumble notwithstanding, which, you know, it sucks for him because in that moment you think you can make a play after having a bad handoff. It wasn't anybody's fault. It just wasn't a clean handoff. You just tank it, man. Just go to the ground. Don't try to make something out of a disaster that's already occurring. And you could see it in I could see it in his operations because I've been in that moment before when you don't get a clean handoff. And in your mind, you're like, it's going to come to me. It's going to come back. It's going to get to me. It's going to get to me. And then all of a sudden you get hit and the ball's gone. So you just have to tank it. You have to kill the play. And he's a young player. It just didn't happen. And I feel terrible for him because he had a heck of a game otherwise. But like, I think that this team has a lot of young players who Dex is trying to say aren't listening to what they're being told.
Mm. Okay.
So it's not.
So you don't take that as a warning sign on the coach losing the room?
Absolutely not. And so what I take it as what Dex is saying, is Dabes or whoever, the defensive coordinator, is it Bowen or whatever, are saying something, and it's not getting communicated in certain people's minds. And that's why you're seeing the mistakes. That's why you're seeing the missed opportunities. That's why you're losing one-possession games, because the other team is just that little bit marginally better than you are.
Let's go to Dion in Queens. How are you, Dion?
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
I'm a Jets fan suffering for the last 44 seasons, but I am not shocked at the results of the Jets record this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably one of the few Jets fans that, one, didn't want Aaron Rodgers here. Two, predicted that he would get hurt. I was telling a lot of friends, I said he had ankle problems when he was in Green Bay.
All right.
Three, the Jets, they can't develop quarterbacks.
Yeah, no kidding.
Can you give me two great quarterbacks they develop?
No. I can't because they don't develop anything. They actually stymie the growth of young quarterbacks. Then they go elsewhere and they look competent. But Dion, I want to ask you a question, and I mean this respectfully. Do you feel better now? Do you feel better that you called up and you said, I knew this would happen? Like, does that, like, in any way, does it cleanse you a little bit as a Jet fan? Or is it just, you know, what does it do for you?
It just validates my point that I've been saying. If I may take it back 30 years, because this is the 30th anniversary this month of the fake spike game,
memories.
Which I was there with my uncle.
Oh, man.
We sat on a 10-yard line on a Jet sideline, and right. I remember telling my uncle, God rest his soul, as the Miami Dolphins was moving the ball up the field, I said, the Jets are going to blow it. He got so angry at me.
You knew.
He said, what are you talking about? I'm never taking you to another game. I said, they're going to blow it. And when Marino played like he was going to spike the ball, you see the Jets' defense. They relax.
Oh, yeah.
And he just burned them. And also, this is the 12th anniversary of the Buff Fumble game.
Oh, my
game,
God.
Which
well,
I was also
Dion, are you trying to kill all of us? Like, are you on this Monday that's already depressing enough saying, you know what I want to do to every Jet fan? And Dion's a good Jet fan. Like, I'm not ripping him. Like, you want to take us down the memory lane of all the garbage we've had to watch? Like, I'm glad that
is it really the anniversary?
Of what?
The butt fumble.
Well, no, it was Thanksgiving, so we still have a few more weeks. But, you know, I guess he's talking about year-wise.
Oh, yes.
I get to celebrate that.
2012. Got
it. We get it. There's a lot of misery as a New York Jet fan. What I'm curious about is for Dion and anyone else that call up today, and this is the second Jet fan who's done this, to basically say, I told you so.
Mm.
Does that really make you feel better? Like, look, we all love it.
I think it does, actually.
Does it?
Yeah.
But it sucks what happened.
Well, it just allows you to absolve yourself of ownership of the team, of this current iteration of the team. That's what it does.
But, Tiki, it doesn't work that way because...
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. I'll tell you why. At least for me, it doesn't. I may not want something to happen. I may scream and yell about it. Okay, I'll give you a great example because it happened live on the radio. When the Nets traded for James Harden, I had a meltdown. Okay? Kind of became famous. Fat, dribble, drive. Very meltdowny. I didn't like it. I wasn't happy. When it failed, I didn't go, I told you so. It didn't make me feel better. It didn't absolve me. I was on the air a few years later after the trade went down. Never
and
once
did
I say I told
you. But what did you say?
I said,
I knew this was going to fail.
No, I said, I hate myself. And I hate my franchise. And I hate being a sports fan.
You hate yourself for being right.
No, being right wasn't like added to it. Like being right is only good when it's a good thing. Like positive Tommy, the Mets had a successful season. I think his being right is a badge of honor that he should be happy about.
I believe in positive Tommy.
That's a win. That's a win you should be like, hey, I told you so.
Right.
But when it's a negative, there's no positive in that. Oh, yay, I'm happy. I told you we'd suck. Really? That makes one feel better?
Some people it does.
Would that make you feel better?
No, of course not.
Exactly.
It absolves them of ownership of their fandom. Like, I knew this wasn't going to happen. I'm a big fan, but you know what? I knew this was going to happen, I'm good.
I don't subscribe to that.
But that's what they're doing.
Okay, if Dion feels better because he got that off his chest. See, guys, I told you.
It's therapy. You said we were a place for therapy. We'll take your tears. Lay on our couch. Didn't you? That was therapy.
You know what? You're right, Tiki. Can you be my therapist for a second?
Sure.
I'm going to try this. I'm going to try exactly what Dion did.
Yes, right,
here we go. I said on the radio, don't fire Robert Saleh this time.
You're right.
This is dumb. What are we doing? We're a bunch of idiots.
You feel better now?
No.
Why not?
Because being right does nothing for me.
You think you're smarter than your owner. You feel like you're smarter than your owner.
That's not saying much at this point.
I'm just telling you, you feel like you're smarter than your owner. Because you said, I wouldn't have fired Robert Saleh. Yet you did. And what did they, lost four games in a row?
Yeah.
Five games in a row?
And their defense went from being competent to being pathetic. I actually read a stat that's according to some stats, because, you know, the NFL is like, you could go by yards, you can go by points, you go by EPA, you can go by a lot of different things. By some measures, the New York Jets employed the worst defense in the NFL since Robert Saleh got fired. That's how bad things have gotten.
And they're 1-5.
And they're 1-5. More of your calls next at 888-808-1019. Just another Monday, you know, one of those typical Mondays where, as Jet and Giant fans, we could sit around in a circle
and bemoan how pathetic our franchises are? Question our parents for making us fans of these teams? Yeah, it's one of those Mondays, very normal Monday over the last 10 to 15 years. We'll get back to your angry phone calls in a second, 888-808-1019. But I want to bring a little bit of positivity, a little levity to this depressing Monday. I want to present to you what I found to be the most entertaining part of each game that was played, the Jet game and the Giant game.
All right.
So let's start with the New York Football Giants. I don't know if you guys know this, but the reason it started at 9:30 a.m. is the game was played in Germany. Okay, so the game was in Germany. So the official decided to call a penalty in German.
Sean Hockley.
Sean Muscles Hockley. Sean, don't call me Ed. Hercules Hockley. And that made me laugh. So, ladies and gentlemen, the best part of the Giant game, Sean Hockley trying to speak German.
Verstatt Angriff.
Oh.
Fünfjahrstreffen. It's by the center. It's third down.
Oh, look at Sean Hockley.
Here we go. Showing up. Yeah. You guys like that?
Hooked on phonics.
This moment of the game pissed me off so much as a fan. Because I understand in hindsight a day later to laugh and everything, but because it's two lousy teams, and because as a Giant fan, I felt like they couldn't lose the game, I just want to know what the hell the penalty is. And when he went there and he went full German with the smile on his face, I felt like punching his face through the TV.
Oh, so this was not a positive moment in the game?
Maybe others enjoyed it. And I'm not trying to be like the Grinch that stole Christmas here. I get the fun in it. Mm-hmm. In that spot, when it comes to a penalty being called, and these refs have been atrocious all year, I just want to know what the hell's going on. I don't need to be dissecting German for a split second before you tell me the penalty.
I understand. Now, in the Jet-Cardinal game, the officials obviously pissed us off because, as you recall, the Cardinals fumbled, and then the official said, nah, do over. We weren't ready for the snap. And that was very confusing and felt like a little bit of a hose job. So I didn't like John Hussey and his crew when that went down. But randomly, when John Hussey decided to lecture the clock or the people that run the clock, I did find that entertaining. So I present to you the most entertaining part of the Jet-Cardinal game. Here's John Hussey.
We're trying to determine why we have two different times on the clocks. The two in the end zone are 4:47. The two in the middle of the field are 5:51. The two in the end zones are the clocks. Can we please fix the two in the middle of the field when we get a minute? Thank you.
When we get a minute?
How about do it now? Because I said so.
That's John Hussey being angry. That's like my wife saying, can you clean that up when you get a minute?
When you get those cookies out of the oven, then fix the clock.
Yeah, I like that one. Actually did make me smile, I admit it. And maybe it's because I just needed to smile about something. But John Hussey lecturing the clocks being different. Yeah, that one was good. Especially when he's so pissed off. When you get a minute, can you fix this?
Oh, yeah.
That's where you know this is where we are, football fans. The best part of the Giant and Jet games were the officials. One speaking German and the other lecturing who's ever running the clock. Welcome to the NFL. Let's go to Artie in Brooklyn. He's always a pleasure to talk to. What's up, Artie?
Hey, hey,
what's up, man?
Where do we go? Where do we go from here? I don't know. I'm sitting here calling you guys, blaming the kicker. It's ridiculous how many wins we could have with the kicker. And then this nonsense. I mean, that was as bad as a – I mean, we just got destroyed in every facet.
Yep.
And then the coach comes on and says, we didn't get beat physically. What the hell were you watching, dude? You didn't get beat physically. I mean, they were obviously not ready to play. And I personally want Rodgers because – I don't know who else you get. I don't want to go with another year of rebuilding yet. I think they have enough talent. I really think we're going to get Rex. I don't want him.
Rex.
I think we're getting Rex. Every time you hear him, he's never saying a bay, never criticizes Rodgers, always talks about how much talent this team has, how much Woody loves, like, how great an owner he is. Here's my two options, right? I want Vrabel, okay? But, and whatever Vrabel wants, yeah, fine. But I think it's either going to be McCarthy when he gets fired because he won the Super Bowl with Rodgers.
Oh, my God.
Or Rex. And I want to get your McCarthy point on it. And listen, I don't want to see anybody else that's not going to be on it. If Smith is somehow miraculously coming back, I don't even want to see him on the field. Yeah. All I want to see is who's going to
I got
everybody
you.
Else, if Lazard is on his last dime, his last contract, don't even put him on the field.
Yeah, you mentioned Tyron Smith, and I hope he's okay health-wise. I never root for an injury, but I was ready to bench Tyron Smith yesterday for Olu Fashanu to begin with.
Right.
So even before he got hurt, it was going to be time to evaluate your first-round pick. Look, we know the Jets are going to hire a new head coach. And so you mentioned two names, two big names, a guy who's a blowhard on TV in Rex Ryan and a guy who's on the proverbial hot seat every 30 seconds in Mike McCarthy. Aaron Rodgers didn't love Mike McCarthy.
No, so he the did idea not. That ended that, ugly in
no,
Green Bay.
It ended badly. So the idea of, you know what, let's throw another Hail Mary, let's bring in Mike McCarthy to make the quarterback feel good, is an atrocious idea.
Yeah. It's and Rex hasn't coached idea. In a long time.
Right. And
it's been a while.
His last stint in Buffalo, which was a long time ago, was not great. Now, I get it. Meningo wants Rex Ryan. You'll hear that when he joins us at 5 o'clock. He'll mention it again. And I get why. Like, sometimes you got to look at why people want a certain thing, even if you disagree with them. I don't want Rex Ryan, but I get why Joe and other Jet fans would, because in my lifetime, believe it or not, he brought us the most success.
Right. He won. Got to the AFC Championship game.
Twice.
Right. And so he made a quarterback and I'm forgetting his name now.
Mark Sanchez.
And Mark Sanchez looked like he was a competent quarterback for a couple of years. And then obviously that was a little bit of a mirage, but he won.
But the problem is I'll do this real quick just to explain why you can't do this. Rex Ryan, my favorite coach in Jet history, even above Bill Parcells, because as good as Bill was and as important as Bill was, I felt like he left. I felt like he abandoned ship before the job was finished. So for me as a Jet fan, Rex is my all-time favorite head coach. But I know going back to him is probably not going to work. You know who my favorite all-time Met manager is?
Who?
Bobby Valentine. Last year, when the Mets were looking for a manager, I never brought him up. And I love Bobby.
Oh, I mean, how old is Bobby? Bobby is... Is he even viable?
Well, I mean, he's the same age as Bruce Bochy. Like, he's not that old. It's more...
You just haven't heard his name in forever.
Well, because it never made sense to go back.
74. How old was Dusty? Dusty was about that age last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's not even age. It's just, I don't think just because you liked a guy and he brought you a lot of joy means it's best to go back. Byron Scott got the Nets to back-to-back finals. Sean, did you and I ever talk about bringing Byron Scott back?
No, we did not.
No. So just because you love someone and they bring you back to like these really fond, solid memories doesn't mean that's the right place to go with your organization.
Didn't really work out with Joe Gibbs in Washington either.
I mean, it kind of did. Joe did a good job.
They made the playoffs, but...
Look, they didn't ultimately win the chip, if you will, but like it wasn't a failure. It's not even about that. It's just sometimes going backwards sounds good because it brings you back to your great memories. It's like an ex-girlfriend or an ex-boyfriend. You think about the good times and you're like, let's hook up again. Is it really a good idea?
Yes, but it's also a bad idea.
No, it's a good idea for a minute. It's a good idea for a night. It may even be a good idea for a week.
No. Because in this case, there's always the out where you as the owner realize, I made the mistake because it's gotten worse since and it wasn't that bad.
No, here's why that's not true. Can I tell you why that's not true? How did the last 4 years of the Rex Ryan era go?
That's what I was trying to remember. Like, what was at the end? Remember the good times with Rex Ryan.
Right.
What was at the end?
They missed the playoffs 4 straight years.
But why?
They had the Mark Sanchez, Geno Smith debacle, Mark is put into the Snoopy Bowl game, and then he gets hurt.
So you mean it failed because he didn't have a quarterback like most coaching situations continue to fail in the NFL?
But I don't know if he had a quarterback in the first 2 years, but he coached that defense up so much.
Mark was good those first couple of years.
I mean, he was a rookie who made a lot of rookie mistakes
year. But he didn't, and they also ran the hell out of the ball.
Exactly, but that's my point. They had a game plan, they had a strategy, they had an identity that worked.
Yes.
They didn't have, just to answer Sean's point, they didn't have a great quarterback, but they had a young quarterback that they game planned around.
But he wasn't also a liability.
It felt at times he was, but they avoided kind of making him have to do too much.
And you can only do that for so long. You can only do that for so long in the NFL.
My only point is I don't like going back. I don't. And I also think that as much as I was in favor of the Hail Mary, let's try to make this work by trading for Devontae Adams, I'm done with that. Mm. I'm not going to hire a coach because, in theory, you think that's going to work with Aaron Rodgers. Right. You have to hire the right coach for the future. What?
I have it. Positive Tommy has been working in his positivity lab. I have your next head coach.
Let's hear it.
You got to go backwards, like you said, with Rex Ryan, but not Rex Ryan. I would hire Aaron Glenn. I would do what the Commanders did.
I have no problem with Aaron.
I would get a Cliff Kingsbury type to run the offense. Sean and I were at camp when the Lions were there. Dude, I wanted to run on the field.
Yeah.
Like, he's a dog. Like,
who?
He would bring
Aaron Glenn.
Aaron Glenn. Yeah. Oh, my God. He's a dog. Look at that defense. Look what they've done in Detroit. You bring him back. There's goodwill with the Jets fans.
That's a fine option. I have no problem
with
that.
And you need an offensive mind with him, like they're doing in Washington.
But I got a problem with you. Okay.
Me.
Yeah, it's one thing for Artie or anyone else to talk about the future Jet head coach because we're conceding that this season is dead. You're positive, Tommy. If you're talking about a new coach next year, does that mean you're conceding the season?
No, I'm not.
So
I'm,
why are you talking about a next?
Because that's the topic we're doing here. And I
no,
didn't
no, 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 no. You should have said, guys, I'm sorry. I can't be involved in this dumb discussion. We're going to make the playoffs anyway.
Yeah, but hold on. Is Jeff Ulbrich your head coach next year?
If they make the playoffs, he may be.
It's a big if.
Well, positive Tommy, are the Jets making the playoffs?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm talking about him, not me.
All right.
I'm done with Jeff Ulbrich. I know this team is trash. This guy still thinks they're going to win. He's in the positive Tommy laboratory. You can't opine on new head coaches when you still think they're making the playoffs.
If you've dragged me down, and you have dragged me down to the depths of Jet, you know, sewer hell here.
Hell is the word.
I mean, I tweeted something out yesterday, and it's just the depths of hell. But I'm happy to do this. I think about present and future. So I'm giving you what I think would
be. Yeah, but if they make the playoffs and you're right, like if they win their final seven games, cue the laugh, Sean. The Jets have won their last seven games. Then Jeff Ulbrich is coach of the year, bro.
Probably not coach of the year.
You know
but
what I mean.
He probably is coach next year of the New York Jets.
Exactly. But we all know, outside of positive Tommy, the Jets are dead. D-E-D. Dead.
Not really. Not really.
How are they not dead,
Look
bro?
At the schedule. They're getting the Flacco
schedule.
Homecoming game. They're getting Mac Jones coming up. They're getting Hawk Tua for two games. He won't be playing by the end of the year. Who else? Rams.
Buffalo?
They can make a
Miami
run.
Miami twice?
Yeah.
All those teams.
Oh, by the way, the AFC, the bottom team that's going to get in stinks. So a stinky team can get in. So if you think the Jets stink, they can get in. I don't think they stink. I think they have a lot of talent.
It's just starting to get harder to think of them jumping over all the teams in front of them.
Plus,
especially because they have to play some of them. It's just hard.
They lost to a good team.
Oh, stop it.
They did. The Cardinals are probably going to win the division.
They didn't lose to a good team. They got destroyed and dismantled and embarrassed and spat on by a good
team. Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, they're like two buddies getting together. Yeah, there's that chemistry, but it takes a couple weeks to get that going. Give it a little time.
Do you feel like dirty as you say all this stuff?
No, actually not. It's funny because like Sean was kind of giving me grief before the show. I'm so happy that the Jets and Evan Roberts signed me to help this fan base. You need it so bad.
Oh, we do need
it. It's worse than Met fans. Believe it or not, it's worse.
I think Jet fans in this town are the most like damaged fans in all of sports, let alone New York. I think we are so emotionally damaged by our football team. Like Knicks fans, Met fans, name the fan base, they're all like mentally healthy compared to the Jet fan.
Can I give you one positive spin as well for the Jets?
And it's not an official talking about the clock.
You don't want me to talk about the clock. You don't want me to talk about the future head coach. You don't want me to talk about going to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, give me a positive. Go ahead.
So yesterday we saw the Chiefs not only stay undefeated, and we saw the Lions obviously come back and win that game at the buzzer on a kick.
Uh-huh.
There was at one point where the Lions and Chiefs were the Jets.
Huh.
So for everybody that
That's
thinks the Jets
point.
Are destined to be horrible, they're not. They need to hire the right people. They need to pick the right... Because to me, when I look at the Jet talent, it's really good. So is it coaching? I don't know what it is. Is it culture? Is it both? Like, they have guys on the...
I'm trying to think back. Were the Chiefs ever the Jets?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. No, and this is a point I've made on the radio for many, many years. I'll do it real quick for you.
Pre-Andy Reid?
Pretty much pre-Andy Reid, and even when Andy first took over. The Jets and the Chiefs' history actually mirrored each other in that they both won an early Super Bowl. The Jets, of course, won Super Bowl III. The Kansas City Chiefs came back and really legitimized the AFL by winning Super Bowl IV.
Right.
And then both of those franchises went on this odyssey for many, many years in which they won nothing. Like, the Chiefs didn't make the playoffs for, like, 15 years between 1971 and 1986. And then they got to a random conference championship game in 1993 with Joe Montana. And every other playoff run would end with losing in the wild card round or the divisional round.
Yeah, but
they were the same franchise.
At least they were making the...
So were the Jets.
So were the playoffs. So the Jets were making the same playoffs.
Correct.
But
it all changed in about 2015 when Andy Reid got hired.
Right.
Because then they were in it, to your point, every year, and the Jets died off. But until about 2012, and you can look at the numbers, they were cousins. They were legitimately freaking relatives of ineptitude.
So what's the parallel that you can now hope they have?
Oh, no, the only parallel
is finding a successful coach.
And quarterback. Yeah. Easy.
Well...
Well, it's finding a successful coach who's probably been fired, maybe unjustly.
Yes.
Like Andy Reid was.
They have to find their Andy Reid.
From the Philadelphia Eagles after going to three Super Bowls or whatever it was.
So you want to take Doug Peterson after the Jaguars get rid of him?
Four championship games, not Super Bowls. They only went to one Super Bowl. But you need to find that guy.
Yeah, so who's that guy?
I don't know. I don't think it's Doug Peterson. He's only been to one. But who's consistently there but just not quite there and is likely to get fired? That's who you need to find.
Yeah, that guy unfortunately doesn't exist. The point is...
Exactly. So it can't be parallel.
No. It was a parallel till it wasn't. You know what I mean?
And then
the franchises were the same.
And then you need to find a cast-off first-round draft pick quarterback who just didn't make it at his original team. Oh, I have one for you. Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones until we draft our Patrick Mahomes in 5 years?
Yes.
Yeah. Look, from this point on, there is no parallel. The Chiefs have won three Super Bowls. They've been to a ton of them. It was that they were the same franchise until they finally figured it out. And all he's saying, and he's right, even though we've been waiting forever for it, is that no matter how pathetic your franchise can be, whether you're the Lions or you were the Chiefs until Andy Reid was hired, there is an avenue where everything can turn.
Yeah.
And I get that, and that's true. But until they turn, we suck. Until they turn, we're still a disgusting, horrible franchise. I like to call them Sunday killers because all they do is kill Sundays. So, yes, there's hope it can change. There's no proof it will change. Let's go to Mike in Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I'm frustrated with the Giants. I can't do Daniel Jones anymore. Mm-hmm. My only issue is... With Tommy DeVito, you know, I travel a lot for work. So the last time he was starting, you know, the sentiment I got from people in other states was, you know, the team went from being really bad on the field to an absolute circus, you know, when we were dealing with the hand gestures, his agent, and all the, you know, all the Italian stuff. And I'm an Italian myself, so, you know, I got into it. But, you know, does that play into it at all? Like, I don't think Drew Locke's a better choice either. I don't know
that there's a circus around Tommy DeVito. Is that your question? Do you think that hurts the Giants' decision to potentially go to him? That there's a lot around Tommy DeVito.
Well, I think it matters. Can he play? That's what matters. Like, is he good enough to win football games? Forget all the other stuff. Let guys do what I mean. Guys do whatever they want to do anyways off the field. With their clothing lines and their social media stuff and whatever else they have in their downtime. But if he can play and win, who cares if there's a circus that surrounds him?
But that's not the reason why the Giants would hesitate to go to him.
No, absolutely not. I mean, there's a reason that the Giants have kept him on their active roster. Right? Most third quarterbacks, the guy who's the emergency quarterback that's a non-game day, game day elevation, because it doesn't count for... You can only do it three times. You're on the practice squad, you can be elevated three times, and then after the third time, you have to be signed to the active roster.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy DeVito's been the third string or the emergency quarterback every game this year, but he's on the active roster. So there's a reason that they did that, and it's not... Because most teams don't have three quarterbacks.
They're showing you they have some level of belief in him.
Or they don't want to lose him.
Right.
Because he can be signed off of the practice squad for some other team. So, like, they want him here. It's just they also signed Drew Locke, and we heard at the time, because there was confusion about his contract. You remember this in real time when it happened, that he was told that he would get a chance to play or start or whatever it was. Compete, I guess, for the starting job. But ultimately, what it turned out to be was that, well, if Daniel Jones isn't available for whatever reason, you're going to play.
Mm.
So there's an assumption that Drew Locke making $5 million for a backup quarterback, which is a lot for a guy who hasn't done a lot in this league, he's going to be next in line to play. But what does that do for you?
Does nothing for you.
Agreed. And so I want to know what Tommy DeVito is.
No, I'm with
you. Season is, like, it's dead to me. Like, the season has capped.
You're funny.
It feels like it's... Like, we're they're not going anywhere. They're not going to the playoffs. It's worse in the NFC than it is in the AFC for teams they got to jump. I mean, Dallas is still ahead of them. Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota. These are all non-first place teams in their divisions. Tampa, New Orleans, Carolina now. Like, there's you got to jump every other team.
They're dead.
So you said it earlier, they're dead. The season's dead.
Yeah.
So what are you playing for? To learn what you have on this roster. And I know who Drew Locke is. We obviously know who Daniel Jones is. I don't know what Tommy DeVito is.
He went all right, buddy.
So I want to see. And I think most fans will say the same thing.
November 11th, Veterans Day, and thank you to all our veterans. That was the day where we as a show and we as a city have all come together. We are all ready for Thomas Edward Aloysius DeVito. Tommy was first. Sean was all over the place. I was second or third. And now Tiki has joined us. It's like the Wizard of Oz. It's like Tommy was Dorothy.
Right.
And Dorothy was saying, come on, everybody, down the yellow brick road for Tommy DeVito. But first I needed a brain. And so I was the Scarecrow. Is he the one without the brain?
Yes.
Okay. Then you got the Tin Man without the heart. That, of course, is Sean Morash.
What?
And then you've got the Cowardly Lion.
Bad coaching.
Sorry, Tiki. The Cowardly Lion. And you're like, you know what? I got the courage now. Let's see Tommy DeVito. And all of us have our arms like we're together. And we're prancing down the Wizard of Oz to see Tommy DeVito.
Prancing down Mulberry Street.
Terrible metaphor.
Yellow Brick Road.
Yellow Brick Road. Yeah, whatever.
I don't shine shoes anymore.
Your call's coming up at 888-808-1019.